WBZ H 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Justin Finch. A school community in mourning outside New York City after a deadly bus crash involving students and staff headed to band camp. Two adults killed, five people hospitalized in critical condition, believed to be students. 15-year-old Anthony Eugenio was on board.
I heard him start screaming, and then I felt it. As soon as I picked my head up, the kid next to me was covered in blood. I saw blood everywhere.
The bus rolled over and down a highway ravine, authorities blaming a faulty tire for the crash. Ukrainian President Zelensky has wrapped up his visit to Washington with an influx of cash and other aid to continue fighting back against Russia. The White House extending another $325 million for the war.
I thank United States of America and Mr. President for the new defense package for Ukraine, a very powerful package. Thank you so much.
This is ABC News. The UAW, now a week into its strike against Detroit's big three automakers, and we're expecting to hear from union boss Sean Fain this morning. The union has threatened to expand the strike if there's no real progress in talks. Questions swirling around what's next for Rupert Murdoch now that he's stepping down as head of Fox.
He may be 92 and is handing off the reins to one of his sons, but his former Murdoch editor Mark Day in Sydney says...
He's announced that he's standing back, but in the same breath saying, well, I'm still here. And, you know, if you follow the career of Rupert over the years, very unlikely that he will take his hands off the tiller entirely.
The plan is for eldest son Lachlan to head the media firms while Rupert Murdoch will become chairman emeritus. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
And another streaming service is adding ads. Starting next year, Amazon Prime Video customers will see ads in shows and movies. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh, yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
minutes.
It was
a week. Everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back up to the lake here on Lake Wissota. It is Friday, September 22nd. Nice to have you here on this Friday. Let's see if it's Friday. If it's September 22nd, what is it today? It is National Ice Cream Cone Day. I can get behind that. American Business Women's Day, Car-Free Sunday. Well, that would be, okay, get ready for Sunday when it's Car-Free. Today's National Deer Diary Day. It's Hug a Vegetarian Day. Just don't take a bite out of them, I guess. Let's see, it's National Girls Night Out Day. National Girls Night In Day. Okay, however you want to do it. Girls Night Out, Girls Night In, it's your day. It's National White Chocolate Day, Native American Day, World Rhino Day, and as we mentioned before, Joan Jett's birthday. And we'll have he'll hear a little bit more from her coming up. Coming up yet this hour, we'll talk to Mark Jacob about his new column for Courier Newsroom, A New Idea in Political Interviews, Ban the Liars, in which he makes the case for stop booking people that you know are going to lie on your airwaves just because they bring you good ratings. Superintendent Jill Underley fires back at critics in her annual State of Education speech in Wisconsin and talks about the value of diversity, equity, and inclusion classes and making sure you teach an accurate and full view of history and more. If you missed our last hour where we talked about impeachment palooza, where some Republicans in the assembly are now talking about articles of impeachment against Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Well, you can listen back to that anytime by going to civicmedia.us. Click on shows, look for Up North News Radio, and every hour is a separate episode that you can subscribe to as a podcast, you know, at Apple, Spotify, all the usual places, or you can listen right there on the Civic Media website. Another way to catch shows that you missed is simply to go to the Up North News Facebook page. And if you go there, you can just scroll on down. You'll see, you know, all of the other posts that we put up at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media. And you'll also each day come upon the live video feed of this radio show. And you can certainly watch what we're doing and listen back that way as well. As we unpack the news here, one of the stories that we were getting into is about Superintendent Jill Underley and the comments that she made in the State of Education address, and then some of the reaction to that, which sadly is rather, you know, predictable in its hatred and its division. But Jill Underley, you know, rightly notes that we should not be trying to homogenize history and homogenize our own experiences. and is standing up to people like Robin Voss, who currently is blocking pay raises for tens of thousands of UW employees because he wants the university to stop embracing racial justice and get rid of its DEI programs. Well, it leads me to some of the comments that we had on Facebook earlier this morning in our first hour. One that writes about LGBTQ lessons and books, you know, in classes that aren't afraid to deal with topics that may be of consequence, whether it's religion or history, gender, sexual identity. And we have one who writes, well, they have no right to preach LGBTQ crap to my son without my permission. Gender queer needs to be thrown out, she writes, because of its pornography. And my white son doesn't need to feel guilty because he's white, because white privilege of being touched and indoctrinated into our children. Okay, there's a whole lot wound up in there, and it's a lot of toothpaste to put back into the tube when you mix that many metaphors. And frankly, I just don't feel like it. This is somebody who needs to talk maybe to a counselor or a religious faith leader. But I will pick on the last thing that she writes. We are a constitutional republic, not a democracy. As somebody once wrote, that's like saying, how did they put it? That's not a car. That's a Honda Civic, because it's, you know, one or the other. No, they're the same thing. A constitutional republic and democracy exist at the same time. They're different forms of something that we need in this country. We can't have direct democracy with 300 million people, but we do have to have democracy to get to having a constitutional republic, people who represent us. But the people who are using that phrase, and a lot of people on the right are using that phrase this way, when they're saying we're not a democracy, what they're saying is they're okay with the elements of a constitutional republic being chosen not in free and fair elections, but by, say, right-wing Supreme Court justices or right-wing legislators who can impeach left-leaning Supreme Court justices, or passing articles of impeachment rooted in nothing. But in those ways, they feel they can shape the electorate to then put people in office and say, well, we're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic, which means that we undermine the elections, we put these people in, who then are going to refer to all LGBTQ people as pedophiles, and that they shouldn't exist. And we're not going to teach an accurate accounting of history because somebody might feel guilty. Nobody should feel guilty if they're a good person and secure with themselves and where they are in the here and now, from a historical standpoint and from the values of being a good person, something we don't see too often in the comment section these days. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over.
then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Again, Joan Jett is 65 today. 65 years old, Joan Jett. Happy birthday to her. 7 a.m. temperatures include 61 degrees for Lake Wissota. Madison coming in at 64. Waukesha is 61 degrees. La Crosse, 63. Wausau, 55. Wisconsin Rapids holding steady at 60. Green Bay has warmed up to 59. And Hayward coming in at 55 degrees. Let's get the forecast all around Wisconsin for the whole weekend here with meteorologist Michael Cairo from Weatherology. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you, and we will be dodging at least to some scattered shower and storm activity on and off into our weekend, but not expecting a complete washout at any one location. I think the drier weather will reside across eastern portions of the state as we look ahead to your weekend. Out there first for today, tracking some hit-or-miss type shower and thunder shower activity in areas to the northwest of Madison this morning, headed up to near the Dells, but perhaps near Black River Falls, and even as far north as Wausau by this afternoon. But any of that activity, again, staying very hit-or-miss in nature out there for today. Still a touch of warmer than average temperature-wise for this time of year. High temperatures working up into the upper 70s for most locations across the state for today. I think we'll stick closer, though, to the lower 70s in areas right along the Lake Michigan shoreline. Then for tonight, still can't rule out some scattered shower and thunder shower activity, especially to the west of the Wausau to Madison line for tonight. Eastern portions of the state largely looking to stay dry. Overnight low temperatures into the lower range of the 60s from Eau Claire and Wausau Point southward. Some middle to upper 50s for areas like Park Falls and up to near Rhinelander. Then into the day on Saturday, it's still the better chance for any early day shower and storm activity, especially across the western half of the state. I think most locations, though, will manage some dry stretches, though, as we head into your Saturday afternoon. Maybe even a few peaks of sunshine down to near areas like Madison, the Dells, and Milwaukee by Saturday afternoon as well, allowing high temperatures to warm up into the lower 80s across the southern half of the state, more like the middle to upper 70s across the north. And then by the time we get to your Sunday, again, mainly just far western portions of the state, areas like Eau Claire, over to near Amory, as well as La Crosse, that chance for some showers on Sunday. Looking pretty nice, though, for central and eastern Wisconsin, and also looking nice for that home opener there over at the Lambeau Field on Sunday. Game time temperatures in the lower range of the 70s, and most of the state in that lower range of the 70s to upper 60s for highs there on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be sounds like a very pleasant way to take in the home opener there at Lambeau. Michael Cairo, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. So as Michael mentioned, the Packers play the Saints Sunday at noon. Also coming up on Sunday will be the next Wisconsin Badger women's volleyball home match. The number one ranked team in the country is at Northwestern tonight. And then they're at the Fieldhouse on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock to take on Indiana. The Badger football team plays tonight. I know, that's not usual. Usually Friday night is about high school football, but, you know, there are no rules anymore. You don't know what day or night a team is playing. You don't know what network they're going to be on the way that you used to. For the Badger football team, FS1, Fox Sports 1, will be the network to find it tonight, 6 o'clock at Purdue. Let's see, the Badgers have won 16 in a row against Purdue, and the Boilermakers have not beat the Badgers on their home field since 1997. Doesn't mean you take anything for granted, though, and so good luck to the Badgers tonight. Now we get to the Brewers, who could clinch the division title as early as tonight when they play in Miami, because the Cubs will play this afternoon. The Brewers' magic number is 2. So if the Cubs lose and the Brewers win tonight, that's it. They captured the National League Central crown and are assured a postseason berth. They basically are anyway. But that still means you have to run out the string. The Brewers have to play in Miami tonight. Corbin Burns is on the mound for the first of a three-game series. And then the Brewers come home for a final homestand. They will play again the St. Louis Cardinals, who they beat yesterday in St. Louis, 6-0. They'll play the St. Louis Cardinals for three, and then three games against the Cubs next weekend at home, which could be the warm-up act for the first round of the playoffs if, by chance, the Cubs end up getting one of those wild card slots, which they are still in the works for, even though things have not gone well for them lately. We'll talk a bit more about that with Dan Schumacher coming up in just a little bit here. Sam, we were talking in the last hour, Sam Davison, who I forgot to formally introduce at the top of the hour, my apologies, but Sam is here with us, and we were talking in the last hour about how I stayed up too late because Kathleen Madigan, one of our favorite comedians, was in Eau Claire last night. You were going down the YouTube rabbit hole learning all about steam engines.
That's right.
Now, the interesting thing is that we actually, when we bought the tickets, we didn't realize Kathleen Madigan was then playing in Madison. I forget if it's tonight or tomorrow night, but she's down there. And we're actually heading down to Madison. We might have, you know, bought the tickets for that night if we'd have known, you know, that those two things were going to connect. But we'll have other things that will fill the weekend here. I can't imagine your weekend plans involve continuing to watch YouTube videos about steam engines.
Not right now, no. You never know. If I have time, I might go down another rabbit hole, but don't have a ton lined up for the weekend.
You did move, so I'm imagining that there's still, you know, I don't know. It's been so long. We've been in this house for 28 years, so I couldn't even tell you, you know, what it's like to say, okay, well, let's move this here and let's move that over there. You probably just unpacked the boxes and called it good.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't have much stuff.
No, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I actually have been going through some old photos and found, you know, from way back when our daughters were very young. And you look at where the furniture is in these photos and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. This is how we used to lay things out.
It's been so long that you forgot how it was once upon a time.
Well, yeah, it has been that long. Exactly. The old photos came up in part because we were looking for something in our storage room downstairs. And as we're moving boxes around, we're realizing that over the years, I used to be before digital photos, when it was all, you know, film and prints. Mm-hmm. I was really good about photo albums and keeping them, you know, organized and everything. But over the years, like if somebody had a birthday or a graduation and you'd want some old photos to put up on the bulletin board, you know, and so you'd pull a couple out and then we'd forget to put them back in. Oh. And then I lost, you know, I stopped organizing the photos so much. And so that started basically in 2004, I want to say. So from, you know, the 1970s to 2004, I'm good. But from 2000, they're just loose photos everywhere until everything's all digital again from about 2010, something like that. Pretty much people were taking pictures off their iPhones and nobody gets prints anymore. But that means I still have about 6 years of prints that are just sitting loose in boxes. And yeah, so I'm going through all those. The very first step is to organize them by decade, literally by decade. I'll get to what year they're from later on, but you kind of look at it and go, okay, the girls look to be, yeah, the girls look to be 6 and 8 about there. Okay, they're 14 and 16 there. So this one goes in that box instead. This is the kind of thing I'll probably have to do throughout the entire winter to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid that just as I get set and it gets all done, you know, like something's going to happen. There's you know, somebody's going to turn on a fan, you know, comically and blow all
everywhere.
The photos.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Or somebody's going to bring their dog and it's going to chase something through the house and upend everything. Just because I imagine everything to be a screwball comedy at some point or another. But this is not a concern for you. You don't have a lot of furniture to move and you probably have so few photo prints that you actually have to organize.
I mean, not with me. I'm actually, one of my hobbies is film photography, so I definitely know where you're coming from. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Almost all of them are at home right now, and I've done pretty well with keeping my stuff, like pictures that I've taken, organized, both digital and prints, but my parents, not so much. yep. Yeah, we got our first digital camera when I was probably like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And everything before then, some of it was put into albums. Some of it was like literally just tossed into a shoebox after they got it back from Shopko.
Yes.
For developing.
And I get that, you know, at some point when people's parents pass on, you know, there's going to be a lot of prints to go through. But the question is, and I've asked this before, but I'll say again, if something were to happen to me and Sherry right now, our two daughters, what would they do? How would they get literally 10,000 photos out of this phone? You know, between our two phones, there's easily 10,000 wow. photos in there. How do you go through that? And, you know, because clearly we haven't been weeding it over the years. So we actually had it easier, quote unquote, when you had just a few prints and they could easily be found in photo albums. Now we can take more pictures of anything, of everything than ever before, but tracking them, oh man, good luck.
It takes a bit of work, yeah.
Yes, it takes a whole lot of work to keep this straight, but that's, you know, that's going to be what's happening. And again, coming back to your moving, as I was looking at some of the old photos with the old furniture, I got a kick out of it. When we first got this house, you know, we had just turned 30, you know, because we're coming up on 30 years here in the house. And all we had was some lawn furniture, some patio furniture that my dad gave me. So we had no couch or love seat. We had patio furniture.
Like indoors?
Indoors. Oh. Yes. That's, you know, and the TV was up on a milk crate, you know, as, you know, or a fake milk crate. You know, mm-hmm. we aren't actually that old. But I get a kick out of it. But I'm also glad to have come upon these, because right now on Facebook, you know, when it's somebody's birthday or something, you go back and you maybe put up an old photo from a couple of years back,
right.
You know, and we've scanned in a couple of photos over the years. But every year now, it seems it's the same old photos that you bring up. Mm. Well, now I have all kinds of new old photos that I can put in. And I think Sherry's still sleeping. She sleeps in on some Fridays. And so she does not know yet just some of these pictures that we have from college. And she's either going to be very amused and think it's kind of romantic, these pictures of us in college, or she's going to be really unhappy that we put,
either,
that I put up some old photos.
It's either nostalgia or discomfort at seeing your past self.
Here's what I've learned. It's discomfort in the beginning. But then when you see it a couple more times, it's nostalgia. I promise you, for 10 to 20 years now, every time I get photos of me or see photos of me, I go, oh my God, why don't you lose some weight? What is wrong with you? Come on, could you not have that cheeseburger, which I had last night, which was delicious before the Kathleen Madigan show? But I also guarantee you that 3 years or so later, I will look back at that very same photo and go, why did I think that? Look, I wasn't skinny, but I looked pretty good back then. You know, you think you look horrendous now, but you think you looked good in the past. Well, guess what? Today is going to be the past before you know it.
Yeah,
know?
That's true. I'm not old enough to be at that point, I guess.
No, you will be. And at some point, you're going to look at that shirt, you know, that you've got on right now, or, you know, facial hair or whatever. You're going to go, oh, what was I thinking? And right now, it's perfectly normal. What we're doing right now is perfectly normal. But you know, in a few years, I'm going to look back at this shirt and go, what were you thinking? It's just what we do.
It's like,
know?
What happened to mullets? Well, mullets are making a comeback, I guess, to some people at least.
I guess. I saw somebody at the show yesterday with like a side mullet. It was crazy. She had like silver hair and it was like in a weird little, it's like a mullet. She had a mullet wig, but it had gone askew.
Ooh,
so we clearly don't get to the big city of Eau Claire very much to see some of these big fancy fashions out there. I appreciate the trip down memory lane there, Sam. Thank you very much. I think maybe we should take a break here and bring in one Mark Jacob, who's got a new column for Courier Newsroom with the very simple premise, stop putting adjudicated liars on your airwaves. We'll see if we can't maybe talk some sense into the people who booked these guests. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher a little bit later on as well, and much more. Still ahead on this Friday edition of Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
I this summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A school community in mourning outside New York City after a deadly bus crash involving students and staff headed to band camp. Two adults killed, five people hospitalized in critical condition, believed to be students. 15-year-old Anthony Eugenio was on board.
I heard him start screaming, and then I felt it. As soon as I picked my head up, the kid next to me was covered in blood. I saw blood everywhere.
The bus rolled over and down a highway ravine, authorities blaming a faulty tire for the crash. Ukrainian President Zelensky has wrapped up his visit to Washington with an influx of cash and other aid to continue fighting back against Russia. The White House extending another $325 million for the war.
I thank United States of America and Mr. President for the new defense package for Ukraine, a very powerful package. Thank you so much.
This is ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Mark Jacob joins us now, author, former Chicago Tribune editor as well. And Mark, I have to start by letting it be known that I finally went down the rabbit hole to figure out why, as I type up my show notes every week, why does it keep trying to autocorrect your name, Mark Jacob, to Mark, M-A-R-C? I figured had to be somebody. Mm-hmm. I finally figured out it's Mark Jacobs is a fashion company.
Oh, yes. Yes, clerks in stores always point that out to me.
You know, do they really?
You know, if you had a C instead of a K and you had an S at the end of your name, you'd be rich. Yeah.
Well,
it might take more than that, but, you know.
Yeah. So I'm seeing all kinds of purses and fragrances.
Yep. Not me.
Not you. And I have tried. I have tried to get my Google Docs to stop correcting that, but it just won't. It just keeps wanting to spell it that way. So if you ever see it misspelled, that's why. I got owned by autocorrect, I guess, for lack of a better thing. You have a column in Courier Newsroom, and you know it's a premise we've discussed plenty of times here, but you put it in column form this time. So if folks go to couriernewsroom.com, they'll see the headline, "A New Idea in Political Interviews, Ban the Liars." And it's based, and I know I'm not the only one who's saying this. I've heard this from many people. There was nobody that had anything against Kristen Welker, or maybe even NBC for that matter. You know, I go plus minus on that. But her decision and NBC's decision to book Trump the way they did on Meet the Press is part of what really spurred this column, right?
Yeah, I mean, they keep on doing the same thing. And people like me have for a long time said, don't won't they ever learn? You know, because when you put somebody, you know, a guy who lies all the time on television, you can't correct the lies as fast as he can utter them. So you're always going to be, you know, in a deficit position with him getting some lies past that you didn't confront. And obviously that's the case here. It's, you know, this fire hose of falsehood kind of thing that people once accused the Soviet Union of doing that, of just a firehouse hose of falsehood. And that's what, you know, Trump is doing too. But, you know, but the problem with this, Pat, is that this was taped. You know, they taped this and they edited it, and they still left in, you know, outrageous stuff, you know, about how Nancy Pelosi is responsible for January 6th and other complete garbage that's been fact-checked, you know, a million times.
And so, I think that was a kind of a larger point in this is that, yeah, they did know they were taping it, and so it's like you learned part of the lesson of don't go live, but how did you miss the next part of if you're going to put on lies, you can't put the correction like 20 minutes later or just in an online situation?
There are two ways they could do it. They could actually do enough homework to where they were prepped and ready to confront him live, which they did on a couple of things, but very rarely.
But you can't. He just talks right over that.
Right. Well, all right. But you can try to do that and say, no, this is wrong. And you can out try to out talk him, which, you know, a lot of people have tried to do and failed. Mm-hmm. But you can try that, and you can, you know, you confirm, no, that was a lie. Now, if you do that, there's always a risk that he gets fed up and walks off stage, and therefore NBC has no product to push, you know. Right. So they have to be fairly gentle with a pushback. The other way you can do it is just let him talk, but then when you broadcast it, stop it every time he says something that's a lie. Stop it and say, no, our panel of experts found that, you know, do that. Just do that over and over again. Now, you'd be doing it a lot because he lies a lot. But that at least you wouldn't be helping a newsmaker lie to your audience. That's it, because that's what they're doing. They're, you know, and is that a public service? Who does that serve, the liars or the audience? The answer is the liars.
Right. I mean, it really is. It is more of a community service to stop the tape every time because you and I have both been editors. That's just basic editing. You stop and you don't let the mistake, you know, carry on. You annotate it, you know, right then and there.
Don't you think there's some mentality that, well, we'll just put them on the air. That's they can just say.
Well, that's the platform excuse where they say, hey, we're just the platform. You know, you listen to it all and then you decide. We'll tell you later on, but we're just, you know, we don't want to interfere. It's like there's nothing interfering about interrupting a lie and making sure the audience knows the truth.
Yeah, as you pointed out, you know, that 20 minutes later, they're like saying, well, that thing that Trump said 20 minutes ago wasn't true. Well, then the lie worked because, you know, half your audience is left already and they heard the lie, but now your correction.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it. There are several headlines this week in media circles about Rupert Murdoch and his reign at Fox News being over, but the damage he did may last forever. And I try to follow media. I actually did not know Rupert Murdoch was still calling the shots. I thought he'd handed things over or died. I suppose that was Roger Ailes, but I just was not even aware he was still a thing, to be honest.
Oh yeah, he thinks he's a thing. I mean, they even had correspondence from him in that the lawsuit that Fox recently had to settle for $750 million. There were communications from him, so he was involved in that. Now he's handing it over to his son, who is at least as right wing as he is, and so I wouldn't expect big changes unless the other members of the family decide, hey, now would be a good time to sell or something like that. So the company may be in flux, but it's not going to come back to reality. And let's not remember, this is not a news channel. This is an anti-news channel. This is a news channel that lies and hides stuff. You know, the whole scandal with Lauren Boebert doing her thing at that theater in Denver, you didn't hear that on Fox News. They didn't report on it.
No,
They
of
decided
course
that was
not.
not, they decided that was not news. That a
Yeah.
member of Congress had been kicked out of a theater for extremely inappropriate and rude behavior.
Yeah. But again, when it's all about the team. If the person on the team is
Right.
misbehaving, well,
Right.
then it's something I guess you have to defend rather than,
And it,
as we've said, we're going to say it again. If Hunter Biden did something wrong, he should be prosecuted.
definitely,
Yep, it's that's just how it
definitely.
works.
You know, but with the Fox thing, you know, they repeated the Trump lie about Nancy Pelosi being the cause of January 6th. I mean, they you know that she refused to bring in the troops. Well, number one, it wasn't her authority. Number two, she didn't. She's the one you see on video calling for help when Donald Trump was sitting in the White House and doing nothing. So it's just a complete lie. Fox knows it's a lie. Trump says it on NBC, and Fox does a big headline on it, for days afterward. That's the way it works. It's platforming the liars, and so Fox isn't going to get better, Pat. Fox is one of the worst things that's ever happened to modern society.
Oh yeah.
Fox has made millions ignorant. It's probably killed millions or killed hundreds of thousands because of the anti-vax stuff. I mean, they're responsible for spreading the lies that caused January 6th. They're a pox on society.
There
They
is
are a
no,
terrible thing.
there's no place where Rupert Murdoch has set up shop where, you know, democracy is better off or the media is better served. You simply cannot say that about any place where he has operated. Let's move over to the auto worker strike just briefly, because it was a little lesson that I had to, I guess, give myself this week. When we talk about strikes, and people are always they fall into old habits. And so Sean Fain, for example, is referred to as a union boss, where you don't hear that word anyplace else except that anti-union connotation that comes with it. And the one that I did in writing was I started writing the line, you know, if the strike continues, both sides will experience significant pain that'll ripple through the economy. And now I realize, well, that's putting all the onus on the strike. You know, if the strike continues, you could just as easily say, and what I wrote in here was, if the automakers won't come to terms with their workers, both sides will experience significant pain.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of those instances where, for all the times I rail against both sidesism, you have to try to be more balanced because the vernacular, it tends to be one-sided.
Right, and there's this tone that, you know, the workers are asking for something that they don't deserve or that they don't have now. Well, this is, you know, supposed to be free enterprise. It's supposed to be capitalism, and if it's capitalism, then the workers get to negotiate the terms of working for their employers. And, you know, that's called freedom, and we ought to celebrate it. And it shouldn't be this thing where, oh, no, that union's causing all this trouble. No, you might as easily say that the company's causing all this trouble by not giving its workers fair wages.
Yeah, exactly. We've watched CEO pay jump, you know, 40% over the past
Right.
decade. Workers have not. And unfortunately, again, because of the self-imposed, in many cases, finite nature of a news story, you don't hear the part about how, you know, workers had to give concessions as well back during the Great Recession. And by and large, never got that back. And this is part of what that's about, is they think it's time for the make good that the CEOs have clearly received.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of posturing going on now. You know, you see the Republican candidates, several of them, Tim Scott and Nikki Haley, for example, are saying very anti-union things. I mean, they just really want to bash the unions. Frankly, Donald Trump is not, and that shows that he's a you know, better politician than those people are. Unfortunately, he's a better politician, but he's like trying to find this middle path. The last presidential election, 4 out of 10 union households voted Republican, and that's worth paying attention to, because that, if the Democrats need to bring that number down if they want to have success.
And that's why you see Donald Trump saying he's going to skip the next debate next week in California, and he will instead go to Michigan and I guess talk to, I'm going to imagine it's a, kind of a hand-picked group of supporters, and claim that, you know, union people love him and want him, but there's no evidence that he'd be anything than, you know, as anti-union as ever. And that will be a ginned up crowd, but it saves him the embarrassment of having to perform up on stage.
Right. No, he doesn't get confronted by anyone. But people need to look at his record. You know, think about when you've been president before, you have a record for how you handle labor things. And Donald Trump was extremely anti-union in who he picked for labor secretary and all the policies. So you can't, I mean, those are the facts. And that this is why it's so important for, if the mainstream media is not going to get out the facts, then the other side's got to get out the facts, because the facts have got to be gotten out. Because in this case, Trump is not, you know, he can have a photo op with some union people. Sure, he can find those people. But he's anti-union, and the union people need to figure that out.
All right. The last thing is the potential for a government shutdown. And I guess I can ask your thoughts on how poorly things have gone for Kevin McCarthy this week. But let me also add this wrinkle, if you care to address it. I'm going to be gone the next two Fridays. And so when you and I get together again, which will be a Friday, the 13th, actually, of October, will we be in a shutdown when we look back at the time when we weren't able to visit here? Any thoughts on what things are going to look like 3 weeks from now?
I think there may be a shutdown. It won't be long, I don't think, because, I mean, although, you know, with the idiots in Congress, you never know. I mean, Tommy Tuberville's still doing his thing, and with widespread condemnation. So maybe it's not possible to shame Republicans. Maybe they just, you know, do what they want to do, and there's, you know, nobody will stop them. But I have a feeling that it's going to look so bad for them. I mean, the history is there. There was that great quote this week where someone said, some Republican said, well, you know, whenever we shut down the government, we get blamed for the government being shut down, you know, which is just hilarious. You know, yeah, you do, because you shut down the government. And so they're going to take a hit, just like Gingrich did in the 90s, and a fairly quick order, I suspect. If they do go to a shutdown, they'll fix it when everyone gets embarrassed enough. But it's just a terrible way to run a government. Look, you look at a Republican stewardship of our government, and it's just a clown show. They don't know how to do things. They don't want to do things. They couldn't pass infrastructure in 4 years, Pat. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get anything done. All they want to do is get on TV and be loud and obnoxious, and, you know, blow up cars on TV commercials.
and loud and obnoxious they were, which is why we this morning have decided not even to go to the hearing this week with Attorney General Merrick Garland, because, again, clown show was just the best way to describe it, rather than getting some actual work done. Mark Jacob, thanks so much. Looking forward to visiting and catching up after a little break here. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Dan Schumacher up in Ashland, find out what's happening at the tippy top of the state. We'll talk a little bit about the wild card race in baseball, since it appears the Brewers are going to be sewing up the division crown here. And we'll talk a little Packers football and see how this poor suffering Bears fan up in Ashland is doing right after this. You're up north. What do you know?
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article? Or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. For right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 75. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows around 60. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. High of 75. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. Chance for scattered showers on Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I know it's a little cliche that I would play, Touch of Grey rather than something more obscure by the Grateful Dead when Dan Schumacher joins us, but we mentioned it earlier this week as well, that it was this week in 1987 that Touch of Grey reached number 9 on the Hot 100 chart, which was the band's only recording to ever reach the top 40 on the Hot 100. And I remember Dan hearing it back then and thinking, this is a nice little sound. I wonder if this is what the future is going to be like. But it was very much a one and done in terms of a pop sound from them, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Kind of went back to their roots, which, again, had a touch of gray, if you will, at the time.
If you can believe that they actually wrote that song and started to figure out the melodies to it in 1981.
There's two kinds of songs. There's the ones that take years to come together, and then there's always the one like, well, I wrote it on the back of a cocktail napkin in 5 minutes. You know, and there's plenty of songs that have that kind of a story too.
Right,
you know?
Right. They rewrote the song a bunch of different times, a couple of different verses. There's a story behind it, yeah. Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia.
They made a lot of money on tour. But I have to think that even putting one record in the top 10 probably added to the coffers a little bit.
Oh, I think it did. But it also, that's when everything started to get out of hand. Mm-hmm. That there was kids that never heard of the Grateful Dead before, hear that song on the radio. They want to go check out the concert, and it turns into, if you watch the documentary on it, it talks about the fact that there was more people in the parking lot that were in than in the show. That it was a traveling circus, like you wouldn't believe that it turned into. And it was a part like Dennis McNally, the publicist, says, it was a party that no 19-year-old would ever turn away.
No, that's great. What's going to happen with your Cubs here? The Brewers are going to clinch the division as early as tonight if the Cubs lose this afternoon and the Brewers win in Miami. But at some point here over the weekend, the Brewers are going to clinch the division. I'm looking at the wild card race right now, and the Cubs are currently tied with Miami for the top spot, or for the third and final wild card slot, I should say. Philadelphia and Arizona have the other two. But between Arizona, Chicago, Miami, Cincinnati, and you could even throw in San Francisco because they're only three games back. I mean, this is still very much a wide open race for that last wild card slot. It's weird to think that first off, your Cubs are going to be rooting for the Brewers this weekend to beat Miami a couple of times. And then there's going to be this regular season finale series next week that could be a tune-up for the Cubs and Brewers meeting in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If you make the playoffs.
Yeah. Right. I'm kind of disappointed in the Cubs. I mean, to be at one time 2.5 games out from the Brewers, and now they're 8 games out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, they really, really didn't do well down this stretch. And that's, I don't know if it's because it's a younger team. Brewers, I think, are really well coached. I don't know. It's going to be one heck of a tough road for the Cubs to even make that wild card, in my opinion.
I just think that the acquisitions at the trade deadline for the Brewers were just amazing. You had you've got Canna, you've had Donaldson, who was after the trade deadline, but he was acquired after the Yankees let him go. The rookies have really stepped up, and I'm not taking away anything from management for making some good choices. This just happens to be a year where both the rookies and the new additions really clicked. Unlike, yep, say, you know, the Mets and the Padres over the past couple of years, who put hundreds of millions of dollars into, you know, buying a championship, and it just absolutely blew up in their faces. And in the Cubs case, you didn't try to buy a playoff, you know, but you, yep, you just didn't have everybody click.
Yeah, I thought that there was going to be a – when they brought that kid up from AAA, their top prospect, and play center field, mm-hmm, and he had that lights out, great first game, but he hasn't done much since then. I don't know, he's come back to earth.
Yep. The folks watching the video feed of our show can only appreciate that Dan's having to go through what I go through in the afternoons when the wind picks up. Yeah. And Dan is this close to being a ghost just because the way the curtains are blowing. I've had to do interviews like that, too, where I'm just pushing the curtain away because I can't stop to actually close the window. But you don't want to turn down the fresh air either, because it's going to be, you know, 10 below here before you know it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful morning. It's very foggy up here, but there's a nice breeze coming off the water, and I'm about 100 yards from Lake Superior, so it does have a nice breeze to it.
Bayfield Apple Festival is coming up before too much longer there. I think the following weekend. Are you have you ever been up for that?
No, I have not. I have not been up there for that.
I don't know if you're around, but you got to go. That's
I wish I was. I have to go to Chicago next weekend to see my dear mother, who's a little bit of failing health, so I have to go home and see her for a little while. No, I do have a trip booked for mid-October into Bayfield and staying at a bed and breakfast for a couple of days.
So that'll work. Nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice in Bayfield. But and you know, speaking of bees, my Bears are brutal. Brutal with the capital B.
Oh gosh. It's just what do you got this weekend? Who do you
I don't think the Bears are gonna win. I think Minnesota's due.
Okay.
Minnesota's due. They're due to put one together for themselves.
I think now that we saw the way the Packers were clearly motivated for the Chicago game, and again, they're not like a Super Bowl caliber team, so their late loss in Atlanta was not, you know, a huge surprise. It was disappointing, but not a huge surprise. But it does leave you to the point of you don't know exactly which Packer team will show up on Sunday. Yeah, you know,
I agree with you on that. I thought Love still played well last week.
He did. Yeah.
I thought he did. I think that question has been answered.
The missed tackles, you know, really killed us.
Yep. Defense didn't do very well to hold up at the end.
Okay. So now I have to ask from a coaching standpoint, everybody makes the joke about, you know, the next day, if you don't do well, you're running laps. Okay. Somebody misses a lot of tackles. Is it like, are there all kinds of extra tackling drills on that, you know, Monday or Tuesday, or is it like more strategic, you know, film and chalkboard type of stuff?
I think I know for a fact at that level, they're not going to be punitive like that, where they do in high school or grammar school, where you go out there and work on the tackling dummy, mm-hmm, on form and everything like that. No, they go right to the film room and see what they did wrong. Mm-hmm. It's more of a mental game at that point. When they do miss tackles, 9 times out of 10, they miss a tackle because their head's down, uh-huh, instead of their head being up, knowing where they're going. And that seems to be a norm in pro, even in the high level of college ball. Mm-hmm. The fundamentals kind of go to the side. They're ready for the big hit. They want the big hit. They're not wrapping up them, wrapping up the legs.
You lose track of the fundamentals. Yeah, yep. That's exactly it. All right, Dan, well, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you a little later on.
It's homecoming up here.
There you go. Yes, big reunion. Have a great time. You're going to make a lot of new friends up there. That'll do it for us. Coming up next, Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Green Bay and Racine, Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward and Oshkosh, Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James Jay and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids, and they are all followed by Kristen Bryant and As Goes Wisconsin, then the new news, Town Call, and Todd Alba. So much that you can keep track of across the Civic Media Radio Network, and you can track us over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Look for Up North News on UpNorthNewsWI on social media. Have a great weekend. See you back here Monday.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.